It's time for a special summer segment of the Warrior Path Podcast, the show with the latest news and events in Heber Heights City Schools. Summer is normally a period of transition for the district, especially this summer. After 35 years, Superintendent Susan Gennell is turning the page to her next chapter in her life. We wanted to make sure we had her on the show for at least one more time before she leaves. So welcome to the show.
Thank you, Zach. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here. So let's get straight to it. I guess what I should say is, let's start all the way from the beginning, you know, before you started or anything like that. So, like, where are you from and what were you like growing up as a kid?
Well, my father was in the military, so one of five siblings, and so we grew up in many different places. I was born in France and graduated from high school at Radford High School in Hawaii.
Wow.
And at that point in time, I was going to major in music therapy with a piano and minor, and chose University of Dayton because they were one of the few universities that had a music therapy program. So came here in 1976, went to the University of Dayton, and after about a year changed my major to education. So graduated with my bachelor's in education, a special education teacher in 1980, and began my teaching career at Northridge High School from 1980 to 1984. And I taught students with disabilities in grades 9 through 12. During that time, I was also working on my master's at University of Dayton in the field of school psychology. And I graduated with my master's in 1984. And to become a licensed school psychologist, you are required to complete an internship year. And so I was placed in West Carrollton and Heber Heights City Schools for the 1984-85 school year, and then was hired full-time as a school psychologist in Heber Heights, and that began my career here in Heber Heights City Schools. So that internship in 84-85, and then fully hired in 1985.
Yeah, that's a lot to unpack there. So you said you had an interest in music.
Yes.
So what made you pivot to education then?
I think the interest in music was always also about using music to reach children. You could also, of course, use music to reach adults and so forth. So that goal was pretty strong, my desire to help others. I also remember, I have three younger siblings, I remember making them sit while I taught them. So I had this passion.
Taught them the piano? Or
no, just tell, like we were teaching school.
Oh,
like
okay.
I would sit and pretend I had a chalkboard and they had to sit and follow directions. So that desire to help and teach others was a passion for as long as I can remember. I kind of pivoted to the educational component more so than the music therapy, because the educational component I know would always be focused on children, whereas the music therapy you would have other avenues, and I just really wanted to focus on children, so moved into the education field.
So with that musical background, you know, a lot of people have background in music, you know, playing instruments when they're growing up. So, like, what instruments did you specialize in, or like, what were your favorite ones?
Well, I played clarinet all through high school, okay. And I also started off my first year at UD in the marching band. So I am a marching band fanatic. So that's always, again, been my passion, which is one thing, of course, always enjoy listening to the Wayne High School band and choir and all of the music, wonderful music programs that we have here, again, not only at Wayne, but, you know, at the junior high, and as we've been able to start them in the elementary, too. So clarinet was my main instrument in band, and then piano was my main instrument that I played as a minor. Again, I switched that also and still have piano. Don't often play as much. It's been hard to find the time. and hopefully that's something I can spend more time doing in the future, is to get back to playing some more piano.
Okay, that's what's up. So you definitely provided a good prologue, I should say, is like your background and how you transitioned to the district. So, like, how have you grown and evolved, like, during your 35 years?
Well, I had the opportunity, again, starting as that school psychologist, and I worked both at the elementary level. I was at Valley Forge and at Wayne High School, so I had the opportunity to work with children all the way from incoming kindergarten all the way to those students that were going to be graduating, and spent several years doing that all the way until 1992. So that primarily was in the role of working with individual students, doing assessments or going into classrooms and doing lessons with students, supporting parents if they called with needs or concerns. So that was the focus. And then I realized that there'd be an opportunity to grow in my administrative role. And so I completed administrative licenses in the area of supervision. So I became a supervisor of special education in 1992. Okay. And worked with then supporting teachers to help support students. And of course, that also was a lot more work than supporting parents during that role, and working with the district administrative team in that supervisory role. But again, it was primarily focused on supporting students with disabilities. And also at that time, we were starting our own preschool program. And so it was also exciting to be part of that when the law changed to where we were able to start educating the children in that 3 to 5 year old with disabilities. And then the expansion of my role when I became director of student services, and that was in 1998, which also expanded other areas of focus. So students that were just learning English, the gifted programs were under the director of special services at that time. So it was preschool through grade 12 programs, and also worked in overseeing the support of the school psychologists and speech therapists and nurses and all of those support personnel that support our students with various needs. So truly enjoyed those roles and built so many lasting relationships working with families. You know, in the role of supervisor and director of special services, sometimes I'd start working with a family when their child was entering school at kindergarten, and I would see them on an annual basis when I might go to their meeting annually, and got to be part of seeing that their child progress from, you know, kindergarten to first to second, and then transition into the junior high because of the number of years I spent. And so that was very special to have that number of years and to be able to make those connections with families.
Oh yeah, just literally see kids grow up.
Yes. Yes. Crazy. Yeah.
So that was like your pivot towards becoming superintendent then.
Yeah, my next role after that, director of special services, was I had the opportunity to become an assistant superintendent, and at that time it was in the operations. So I was given the opportunity to move in a field that was what I found to be the backbone of schools. You've got the operations, which is the technology and security and maintenance and custodial and nutrition services. So you've got all of these groups that oftentimes might seem somewhat behind the scenes, but without their work, the educators can't do theirs. And so I gained a great appreciation for the work of our operations departments here in Huber Heights. We've done a fabulous job. Our buildings always looked just magnificent, and food service always trying to do the best to provide meals for children to eat, and custodial staff with keeping those buildings clean. And also during that time, Huber Heights had passed their bond levy to build new schools. And since operations was in that, under that kind of purview, I was very involved with the construction process of all new buildings in Huber Heights City Schools as the assistant superintendent. So I remember doing 5 years of construction meetings on a monthly basis, working very closely with the construction management teams that we had and our construction rep. And of course, our maintenance supervisor at the time was very involved also. So learned a lot from the ground up, learned a lot myself. I took a lot of time to make sure I was prepared coming to meetings. I would read the specifications. I would ask for further information. So because I knew that I was part of that team representing the district and wanted to make sure that the money the community invested in these buildings, that we were getting the best that we could for the community and, of course, for the students, that when they came into these buildings that they were energy efficient, that they had a lot of daylighting, you know, the technology was enhanced significantly from our old buildings. Of course, first and foremost, security systems were enhanced from the old buildings. So was able to work with not only our Huber Heights team and the construction team, but also work very closely with the city because there were lots of inspections in the county that had to be done, and work very closely with the Huber Heights Police and Fire Department as they would come and make sure that in terms of some of the safety areas that we were compliant. So great opportunity to expand my learning.
Always learning,
and that's what education is about, being a lifelong learner. So I greatly appreciated that. And it was when we were nearing the completion of the junior high and high school that the superintendency position opened. So that was in 2012. Had the opening of the junior high and the opening of the high school my first year there as superintendent. And it's a lot of logistical meetings when you're walking from an old building into a new one and making sure schedules matched and people knew where to go. But we had such a great staff of administrators and teachers and support staff that, you know, any one of these processes were made so much easier because everyone was so dedicated to wanting things to be successful. You know, whether it was the logistics of a move or the instruction day one, everybody was always very dedicated to get the job done.
Yeah. Wow. So you had a lot going on every day. That's pretty crazy. So here's a question for you. Why Huber Heights for like 35 years? You know, like most superintendents, they don't last like 6 years, if that. Mm-hmm. Most other jobs, like, you know, like even today, jobs say, like, most people are there like 2-3 years. So why 35 years, though?
Well, because the opportunities I had, the different roles that I was able to do, the different experiences I had, the different groups, everything from working, you know, in the educational side and supporting students with disabilities or gifted students all the way to the operations side. So I could stay in one place, which I loved, because Huber Heights is my passion. So I could be in one place and have opportunities that challenged me professionally, that allowed me to grow and still be here.
Okay. Wow. That's amazing to hear. So with that, what were some of your favorite aspects about being superintendent?
Oh, I mean, it's just every day is an exciting day because there's sometimes you just don't know what's going to happen, so you always have to be prepared. You have to be available. I think it's important that availability for staff, for administrators, for parents. But there were so many exciting things that it's hard to kind of come down to just a few. But you know, the exciting times again of, you know, opening the new schools. You know, one of the hard times was we had to make some significant reductions because at the times that the buildings were opening, it was also the time that the recession was going on. And so there was a lot of families and a lot of businesses and schools that were feeling the impact of the loss of revenue for many reasons. And so we had to make some significant cuts. And again, because of great board leadership, we were able to get through those tough times. And probably one of the positive things is that, you know, we've always stayed very focused on being conservative with our funds after we had to go through so many reductions, that we've been able to slowly start bringing back educational opportunities for kids. So that's probably one of the highlights, is that, you know, going through those tough times of making those reductions, at the same time of being excited about opening these brand new buildings to having to really be financially conservative for many years to be able to have enough of a balance to start bringing programs back. And I feel that's where things are ending, that we've been able to bring back, you know, programs such as art in the elementary, expanding music opportunities, bringing in that the social emotional learning, expanding opportunities in the junior high by adding high school classes at the junior high, like foreign language and health and algebra one. And of course, the work of the high school and expanding opportunities for students, whether they're going on the college path by having the opportunity to take college courses at Wayne, whether they're going that military route and having an outstanding Air Force ROTC program, whether they're going right into the workforce. We've continued to try add some of the career tech programs. And again, it's never just me doing this. It's because there's a fabulous team out there of administrators, teachers, and support staff that, and of course, a board that has the focus of students always on their mind.
Yeah, so the whole group effort.
Always the group effort.
Yeah, the whole saying, takes a village.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the motto you kind of had, okay.
Yeah, and I always knew too that we can't do it alone. We have great partners in Huber Heights, because that's the other thing that's so wonderful, that help support the work we do, that help offer additional programming, you know, so whether it's programming or financial support or donations, that again, it is that whole community that helps to focus and benefit our children.
Wow, that's great to hear. So what's next for you? I mean, you mentioned before you like to start playing the piano more. Mm-hmm. So like outside of that, like what else are you planning to do?
Well, hopefully a little bit slowing down. I can tell you the one thing I won't miss are those 4 a.m., 3:30 a.m. weather watch.
Yeah.
You know, the Ohio winters. So it will be nice not to be as worried about that. But also I still would like to spend a little time traveling, but also be able to still find an opportunity to continue to serve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so what are some places on your short list for traveling?
Oh, maybe get to the beach a little bit here before the fall comes, and then take some time also to spend a little bit of time at home.
Oh, wow, that's great to hear. Yeah, we all could certainly use a beach, you know, especially here in Ohio. Yeah. So, is there anything else you'd like to add or anything else you want to say?
Nope, it's just been an amazing opportunity, and I've been very blessed.
Thanks for coming on the show, and that wraps up this episode and season one. Stay tuned, because we'll have brand new episodes coming your way for the 2019-2020 school year. In the meantime, rate us on Apple Podcasts and follow us on your favorite podcasting platform. We'll see you next time.